Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning, talking Titans. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Mike Sando from The Athletic. Mike, good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning. How are you?
We're great. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. And Mike, we were just discussing a very interesting piece that you've put together at TheAthletic.com in your Pick 6 column about the Titans and everything that's gone down over the course of the past couple of weeks with the firing of John Robinson and the way that Amy Adams Strunk has handled that situation. Let's just start with this. What's your takeaway, your viewpoint on how this move is being viewed around the rest of the league?
Yeah, I think the view from afar is, okay, wait a minute. This doesn't add up. Sure, John Robinson had a couple, you know, bad draft picks, but the team's had success, and he got a good coach. He got a good quarterback. This must be some sort of a power play internally that's going to benefit the head coach in some way. That's the view from afar. Then I think people watched, you know, Mike Vrabel during his press conference and maybe backed off of that a little bit. Like, I mean, he was pretty, he seemed pretty genuine in his comments there, and so you're left to sort of wonder, okay, that's kind of what it looks like, but we're not really sure, and maybe the next step of what happens next will help define that. But I think most people in the league inevitably feel like it's whoever they get as a GM is probably going to be more acquiescing to the head coach than dictating to the head coach or having an equal partnership. But we'll see.
Well, if that's the case, Mike, how much do you limit your pool if that's, I guess, made clear, you know, in the process that, yeah, ultimately Mike Vrabel is going to have final say? How prohibitive is that when you're trying to find a really good GM?
Yeah, I don't know how prohibitive it is because these jobs are scarce. They're hard to get, and people take them. You know, it's rare that you have somebody. An example would be like Chris Ballard, you know, was kind of picky, didn't immediately take one. And then he takes the one where he thinks you're going to have a quarterback for 10 years, and within 2 years you don't have the quarterback, right? So, I mean, to me the lesson is kind of like you sort of got to take these jobs. I feel that way with head coaching jobs too. None of them is the perfect job. So whoever they get had better get along with the head coach, right? I mean, you don't want someone to come in and then they're at odds, but just sort of when you do it this way, you know, it's probably going to be set up to really tilt towards the head coach because he's built up a lot of equity. He's had a lot of success. They've won a lot of games, and people, you know, probably correctly perceive him to have a huge thing to do with that. I mean, 3 weeks ago I wrote a column talking about what the rest of the league can learn from Vrabel's Titans. So I think that stuff still stands. This is just a little bit of a jolt to where we're like, whoa, okay, wait a minute. You know, be careful now because the parallel that I drew in the column was to the Houston Texans. I mean, I think Bill O'Brien, obviously, who worked with Mike Vrabel, had a lot of equity built up because every year they had a winning record and you weren't sure how. They were rolling out T.J. Yates and Ryan Fitzpatrick and Ryan Mallett and Brock Osweiler and all these guys, and then they would win and go to the playoffs. And so, you know, after a while, what happened was the GM there, Rick Smith, who had a pretty good track record, he's out. And then they hire his replacement, and then he's out in a year. And then pretty soon, you've got Bill O'Brien trading DeAndre Hopkins, Jack Easterby's in the house, they're trading up the farm for Laremy Tunsil, and you go, whoa, that starts to look like a, you know, kind of an empowered head coach who I think by nature coaches can act impulsively in those types of things, right? You just, any of us with power would act impulsively sometimes if we had that type of power. So I think the partnership part is key. You need someone there, a personality to play off of him. I do a podcast every week with Randy Mueller. Randy Mueller worked with Jim Haslett. Jim Haslett was his coach with the Saints. They won a playoff game for the first time in Saints history. Jim Haslett was a linebacker like Mike Vrabel. Randy Mueller was a quarterback. It was a different personality. It was like, hey, Jim, hold on here. Whoa, let's back up, right? Because the linebacker sometimes wants to run through the wall or do something aggressively. So, you know, I think that's what we'll be looking for is just what is that pairing? What is that tandem? How does the power accrue, you know, from this point forward?
And, of course, Vrabel, as we used to call Robinson and Vrabel, were a D lineman and a linebacker combo. So, you know, they played bully ball. So, Mike, you know, I put this on our Slack channel, the Athletic, our NFL Slack channel, just trying to figure out, like, how many coaches this league right now have, you know, final say, I guess. Is it – and it quite a few responses on that, too. So, is it basically to the point now where if you have a certain level of success, it's likely that you will ultimately get to that as a coach in this league right now?
That's probably true. Yeah, as you get there, you're at least going to have control of the 53. There's different levels of control, right? I mean, at the end of the day, if the owner doesn't want the coach to trade a certain player, they're not trading them. So, you know, it's within the parameters of that. And I think there's sometimes the feeling or consensus within the building when you're making a really major decision. Yes, the coach might have the ultimate power, but what everyone else thinks is probably going to matter in that equation to some degree. But yeah, I don't think they're going to bring in – well, we'll see. I don't want to speak for the owner because she has said that it is important to her that these are two different roles. But I think when you have success as a coach, you tend to go towards more of that type of power. And Vrabel's had great success as a coach. When people – I think they're the only team since he's been there that has exceeded their Vegas win total every year. He gets a lot of credit for that. He probably gets a lot of power for that. We'll see.
Mike Sando from The Athletic with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Mike, the Amy Adams Strunk angle of this, I think, is really intriguing from the standpoint of, you know, it's in terms of big decisions. She's not made that many thus far during her tenure as owner with the Titans. What does this tell you about her as an owner and maybe what we're learning about her as time continues to move on here?
It seemed impulsive to do it in the middle of the season. It didn't seem as strategic to me. And I think that's, like we were talking about, when somebody has the ultimate power, I mean, that's kind of what happens. You just sort of sometimes do things. I didn't see a strategic advantage to doing it, unless there was some pressing problem inside the building or something we don't know about. We haven't really heard that. I think one of the differences with the Houston Texans situation was you kept hearing about how Bill O'Brien was at odds with Rick Smith or whatever. We haven't really... Other than Vrabel, we knew, wasn't really happy about the receiver situation, the trading of A.J. Brown. We didn't get a huge bunch of reports saying that there was some fire that needed to be put out. And so when you make a major move like this during the season, I kind of call into question just the strategic nature of it, of the owner. Or are we just making the type of move that Bud Adams would make, right? You know, where you're just sort of, that's it, last straw, we're doing it, whatever it is. And I didn't feel the explanation coming out of it was, you know, put that to rest at all. So, you know, you're right. You don't have 1,000 transactions of an owner to measure. But I think there's a little bit of an unpredictability there. And that's another Texans parallel, too. Both of the owners of these two franchises are the offspring of team founders, right? And they have a little bit shorter track record. They probably have a little bit less experience in this realm, and so when you're watching them, you're not really sure that we have a full understanding of where they're coming from.
Well, to follow up on that, what has been from your conversations, and you have tons of conversations with tons of people around this league, what has been the viewpoint of Amy Adams Strunk as an owner in this league in the last few years, and have you heard that too? Some people kind of being taken aback by this move and maybe looking at her a little bit differently?
I think they're much like everyone else where you don't really know. I think that there's not a great body of work and people are reading it from afar. And shoot, I live in the Seattle area and no one really knows that much about, no one knew that much about Paul Allen. He owned the team for 20 years. And now his sister is running it and people are trying to figure out her, and she's been doing it for 2 years. And during that time, they've traded Russell Wilson and done things that we didn't know was going to happen, right? And so I think they're the same as everyone else. It's not like these owners necessarily are meeting every day or having deep, in-depth conversations that trickle down to the management level into the realm of the types of people that I'm talking to all the time. So I think it's a little bit of a guessing game along those lines. We may read too much in any one move because it's all we got.
Well, Mike, it was a really intriguing column at the Pick 6, which people can check out on theathletic.com. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning, and thanks for doing it. We'll talk to you soon.
Hey, thank you.
Absolutely. Mike Sando from The Athletic, our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. Joe, that's some really intriguing stuff there that Sando has thrown out there. It's just particularly, like, you know, not knowing specifically who he's talked to, but executives, people involved with the league and how they view – this situation here with the Titans. Pretty interesting.
Yeah, and again, I totally understand the impulse of power struggle won by Vrabel. I tend to believe at this point, I believe that the power struggle, if there was any assault mounted by Vrabel, it was in, I think, probably just not being able to always contain his frustration publicly with some mistakes John Robinson made and with the state of the roster. I don't believe this is something like that, but I also have no idea like how Vrabel wants this next phase to work out. And how many coaches are going to turn down having more power?
Not many. You
know? Yeah, I mean, ultimately, you have disagreements. I'm sure that Vrabel could probably tick off more than just A.J. Brown and Julio Jones, a few other things where he disagreed with John Robinson, and it didn't work out. Now, were there some things Vrabel wanted that – were there some W's for Robinson over Vrabel when they disagreed? I'm sure, you know. But it does sound like, you know, I've learned through this that, you know, the final say, and we asked Charles Robinson about this too. There's like the 53, but then there's like whatever move it is, and ultimately it's your call. And there is more of that in this league for coaches than I realize. And it's not, again, it's not Belichick doing the whole job. There's no way that's happening. I think we know that now, right?
Yes.
But look, I think Sando made a great point. If you can get a really good person simply because, look, man, there's 32 of these. There's 32 of these. And if you think you can go to a place and win and have success, then it's still a fulfilling job, then great. You know, I do have to think there are some GM candidates out there who don't like the idea of coming into a place and then being overruled from the start. But, it sounds like they should be able to get someone good.
We'll have more on the future of the Titans coming up next. Take your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Preds fans, if you want to win tickets in our lower bowl section 102, just text the keyword Superbook, all one word. Once again, that's Superbook to the game text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, and you'll be entered to win. Win with 102.5 The Game, and win with Superbook. Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.